Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll take a look at the St. Paul-based Air Force Reserve's 934th Airlift Wing, and we'll learn about the Minnesota Warriors hockey. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I would like to salute the Navy, our sister service, on her birthday this week. The history of the birth of our nation's Navy is an interesting one and one worthy of retelling. On October 13, 1775, in Philadelphia, the Continental Congress voted to fit two sailing vessels armed with 10 carriage guns as well as swivel guns and manned by crews of 80. The ships were to cruise for 3 months and to intercept transports carrying munitions and stores to the British Army in America. However, the birth of the Navy wasn't that simple, and its origins were almost sunk in the halls of that fledgling Continental Congress due to disagreement on the size, scope, and practicality of a naval force. After all, Great Britain had the largest and most effective Navy at the time. Fortunately, also on 13 October, a letter from General Washington was read in Congress, in which he reported that he had taken under his command, at the Continental expense, three schooners to cruise off Massachusetts to intercept enemy supply ships. The general had preempted members of Congress, reluctant to take the first step of fitting warships under Continental authority. Since he already had armed vessels cruising in their name, it was not such a big step to approve two more. Thus, the Continental Navy was born. To the proud men and women who serve in our United States Navy, I would like to congratulate you on your 236 years of proud naval history. Happy birthday, Navy.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Colonel Darrell Young, the commander of the Air Force Reserve's 934th Airlift Wing at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport Air Reserve Station. Colonel, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Colonel, I understand that you were commissioned in 1984.
I was, 1984, out at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas.
I remember that well, basic training.
Yep, yeah.
Still there. Can you tell us a little bit about your career? You're a pilot.
I entered the service in 84, graduated from officer's training school. Then I went off to pilot training in Columbus, Mississippi, and spent a year there, got my wings, and my first assignment was out in California, out at Travis Air Force Base, where I got to fly the C-141. Most famous as the Hanoi taxi that brought a lot of the POWs back. Flew that for a couple of years, and I went off to Air Training Command and was an instructor there for a number of years, and then I got off active duty and joined the reserves.
And you've been a member of the reserves for quite a few years.
Right, since 93. So it's been a long time in the reserves, and I've loved it.
And, sir, it looks like you've really worked your way up through the ranks out at the airport, Chief of Wing Plans, Squadron Operations Officer, Deputy Group Commander, and now Group Commander.
Right. Some people accuse me of not being able to hold a job, but it's been a great experience. My time in plans was especially rewarding because I really got to learn about all aspects of the Air Force, not just flying airplanes. So that was a very rewarding experience.
And, Colonel, can you tell us about the 934th Airlift Wing at the airport? What's its mission, and what do you do?
Well, we're kind of not well-known out there. Most folks know the Air Guard out there, one of my great partners out there. We're a basically combat airlift is our mission. We've got C-130s out there that can do amazing things. They take supplies and folks right down to where the fighting's going on, and they also do airdrop and things like that. They're really the the guys who really kind of get into the dirt and support our troops that are engaged. So it's an exciting mission.
Colonel, I'm interested. We've had some National Guard officers on, and the Minnesota National Guard has a federal mission and a state mission, but the Air Force Reserve probably is more of a federal. What's the similarities? What are the differences between the Minnesota National Guard and the Air Force Reserve?
Well, that's a great question. It's the focus of the Air National Guard is a big part of their mission is state support, and they have a federal element. And I'll say about for us, I'll first of all point out that we're the only Air Force Reserve unit in the state of Minnesota, so we're kind of proud of that. We're federally focused. We work for the President of the United States, whereas my partners in the Air Guard, they have two bosses. They have the governor and the president. So, it really came home to me. I sponsored a young man to go through to get his commission. He went down to Tyson-McGee, which is a guard unit, to do his schooling there. And then I went to his graduation ceremony. And when I graduated, I had to swear an oath to the President of the United States. Well, I noticed that some of the guard members that were in his class, they had to swear two oaths, one to the governor and one to the president. So that's kind of the difference. But having said that, as a federal support agency, as a federal unit, in times of a great emergency, when the areas, when we're called, we can do a lot to help locally also. If we're asked to do that. So it's kind of funny. We both sometimes wear two hats.
We're speaking with Colonel Darrell Young, commander of the 934th Airlift Wing, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. So, Colonel, occasionally then, do you provide some support to the Minnesota National Guard, and do you work together? It sounds like you know each other pretty well.
Oh, yeah. We have a great partnership out there. Colonel Hossie, Greg Hossie, is my counterpart. He's the commander of the 133rd over there. We sometimes fly together. We have crews that we'll do missions together locally, training missions. We'll sometimes borrow crew members. If they need a pilot, we'll send them over there. We're both flying the same airplane, the C-130 H-3 model. So we do a lot of that right now. We're assisting them and getting ready for one of their big inspections, and they're actually turning around and offering to help us to get ready for one of our big inspections. So we have almost daily interaction, and it's a great relationship.
Colonel, did I read somewhere that your C-130s were upgraded recently?
They have been. We're constantly working on improving their combat capability. The latest that we have improved their counter surface to air threat. We have a radar on board that's been improved, and we also have gotten glass instrumentation for our airplane. Basically, what it is, and instead of the old instruments, the needle and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of like having TVs in the cockpit now. So it gives us a lot more information and makes it a lot more effective.
So you've got one of the more recent versions of the C-130s as opposed to what we flew in Vietnam.
Right. Oh, yes. You'd be surprised at how much we've improved. We fly the newest C-130 before the J model. The J model is the one that's being built right now. That is the most current one. We are flying the model that was right before that. So,
yeah, Colonel, you're still, I see wings, you still fly aircraft as well?
I do. I try to get out there as much as I can, and I'm not as proficient as I used to be because I've got a lot of other stuff to do, but I still go out there and fly and take part in the mission.
Flying a desk isn't as much fun, is it?
No, it's not. It's not at all, but it each has their unique challenges, and once I started getting into the command role, especially, I love being a commander, and that's been a great reward for me because I really like working with people and getting a chance to lead those people is truly an honor.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. For our listeners, we'll be back with Colonel Darrell Young, the commander of the 934th Airlift Wing of the Air Force Reserves, in just a few minutes. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm visiting with Colonel Darrell Young, the commander of the Air Force Reserve's 934th Airlift Wing at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport Air Reserve Station. Colonel, I'm curious, the Air Reserve Station, as I recall from quite a few years ago, is quite a few acres, and it's not home to just the Air Force Reserve. And are you something of a landlord out there as well as the commander of 934th?
Well, I guess you could say that's kind of like family. When I told my family, especially my brother, who's not very familiar with the military, asked what exactly it is a wing commander, I said, kind of think of it as the mayor of a small town. And you're right, it's real estate, and we've got what I call as, I term it as the federal campus. We've got us there. We also have the Navy and Marine Corps reserve station there, or building. We have the Army National Guard, which is down the road, and then we have the 133rd, the Air Guard, that are down the road. Each has a commander, and we meet quarterly and talk issues and work together, and we've got a great relationship. So yeah, it's kind of a very joint world over there, if you will. It's incredible. You see Marines walking the streets and Navy guys and gals, and it's kind of a neat place.
So as the commander, you have to keep the peace, sir.
Oh, I do. And, you know, we're always respectful of each other, and we have some good-natured ribbing once in a while, but we're a pretty good team.
Colonel, can you give us just a little bit of background on the Air Force Reserve in the Twin Cities? How far back does it go? I know the Guard's been out there for like 90 years.
Right. I think we're on the site of the original Speedway here in Minneapolis. I think the installation started as a Navy installation. One of its claims of fame is one of our presidents, George H.W. Bush, went to pilot training out there. That's well remembered. And then I think around in the 1940s, the Air Force started to have a presence there. And then we kind of took over the place. How about that? We've kind of grown and kind of made it our own.
Colonel, I'm just curious, as a side note, do you still have a base exchange on your side of the fence?
Yeah, we sure do. We have an exchange, and again, it's there. It services all of the federal campus. You know, like I said, you can be over there, and there'll be Marines and Navy folk, and it's there to serve everybody. We've also got a military clothing sales store there that is serving all of the military members out there.
Well, I thought it's been about 35 years since I've been there, but it's still,
oh, yeah.
I'll have to come out for a visit.
You have to come out. I'll show you around.
Colonel, can you tell us a little bit? I want to get back to the mission of the 934th Airlift Ring. You've had missions all over the world. Can you tell us a little bit about where and why you've gone there and how many airmen go?
I tell my folks all the time, we've been at war for over 20 years. I really kind of look back at Desert Storm as the beginning of it all. Then post 9/11, it became a lot more. We became a lot more active. We've been engaged over a decade now of deploying folks and airplanes all over the world. You know, people look at Iraq and Afghanistan and say, "Hey, that's where things are happening." But anytime I look at my reports, we've got people serving all over the world in all kinds of places. Right now, we've probably got. Roughly a little under 100 folks deployed, we're constantly out there. And I am surprised that my reservists have continued to be able to step up and do what they do. And part of that, I think, has been a real, and I say a thank you to the employers around here that have allowed our folks to go serve. And I know that's been a strain on them, but they have really stepped up and helped us. And like I said, we've got. Airplanes deployed at some times, and then we've got just maybe some, you know, communications folks deployed, and we're pretty busy.
And Colonel, of your airmen that are deployed on and off, as you say, we've been at war for 20 years or 10 years that the deployments have been going on. Is there a single airman that doesn't know that they're going to be deployed and they're reenlisting under the understanding that they're probably going to be deployed going somewhere, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Just the other day, we had our drill weekend and had a commander's call, and I asked for a show of hands of how many folks had joined the unit after 9/11. And a lot of hands went up. And a lot of these folks, you know, those are the ones that knew what they were signing up for, and I'm proud of them. They understand what it's all about, and, you know, I ask my recruiters all the time why, you know, we're doing fantastic. We're getting young folks joining up almost every day. And I say, what's the reason? And he says, really, it's they want to serve. So I'm very proud of them.
And Colonel, do you expect that these deployments will continue for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, a couple decades ago, I became an airlift pilot. And I remember one of my instructors telling me, Hey, if your spouse ever wants to know where you're at, tell her to read the newspaper, look at the front page, because airlift, everybody needs airlift, no matter what kind of mission you're doing. Whether it's combat operations, whether it's humanitarian support, we're always out there doing stuff. So I've told folks that we're going to stay busy for a long, long time and doing a myriad of things. So.
And, Colonel, what would you say to our young listeners if they were thinking about joining the Air Force Reserve? What kind of opportunities are out there with the 934th?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's a great opportunity to serve your country. It's a great opportunity to work with some really great folks. The pay's not bad, and the benefits are incredible. The new GI Bill is truly a fantastic benefit for our young folks. We have a lot of folks that join and take advantage of those educational benefits to go on and get advanced degrees. And again, you know, bottom line is you can learn a lot about yourself and you can serve your country and you can gain skills. And I'd love to have you come out and join me.
And Colonel, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your command and the 934th?
No, I'll just say I feel very lucky to get this command. And I've got probably, I think, the greatest wing in the United States Air Force. I'm sure other commanders would argue with me, but now I'm very proud and very happy.
Colonel, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Colonel Darrell Young, the commander of the 934th Airlift Wing at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport Air Reserve Station. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how the Military Family Care Initiative is making a difference for service members and their families. It wasn't long before Linda Hansen began to feel overwhelmed. With her husband deployed to Afghanistan, projects around the house just weren't getting done. The weeds were out of control, the deck needed to be stained, and the house was a mess. Luckily, another military spouse told Linda about the Military Family Care Initiative. Linda was amazed that there were hundreds of organizations registered with the Military Family Care Initiative, and each one of them was prepared to offer assistance. Linda reached out, and three different organizations responded. They took care of the weeds and stained her deck, giving Linda some time to clean the house. With the summer chores done, Linda knows where she can turn to tackle the mounds of leaves that fall brings. And with the 1st Brigade Combat Team having left last spring, hundreds of other families will need a hand as well. Sign up your business, faith-based group, or volunteer organization and help break those leaves. Thank you, Military Family Care Initiative volunteers, for showcasing how remarkable organizations and individuals are going beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness for the purpose of connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects and coordinates organizations, agencies, and companies to provide resources and support to service members and their families. And it is united to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can become involved with the Military Family Care Initiative, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Coming up next, we'll learn about the Minnesota Warriors hockey program. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
After 4 years leading our five state veterans' homes in Minnesota, Gil Acevedo, Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Health Care for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, has announced his decision to make a move to the private sector. Gil has been an innovative leader who helped bring state and federal recognition to our homes through the movement towards person-centered care, a centralized pharmacy system, Medicare and Medicaid billing, a strong focus on training and quality programs, creation of our strategic plan, and the list goes on. Gil positioned the homes for current and future success. I am truly honored to have served with such an accomplished individual. The entire Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs wishes Gil all the best in his future endeavors.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Gabriel Thomas, Assistant Captain, and David Jensen, team member of the Minnesota Warriors hockey team. Guys, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Gabriel, I want to start with you. I understand you joined the Army National Guard in 2003.
Yes, it did.
Can you tell us a little bit about your service?
Sure. In 2003, I joined the Army National Guard as an infantryman. Subsequently did deployment to Iraq, 06, 07, 16 months. And towards the end of my deployment, I was wounded by an IED.
And are you still in the Guard, or are you?
No, I'm done.
Okay. And David, you grew up in Forest Lake, and you were in the United States Army?
Yes, I was right out of high school in 2002. I joined active duty military, so I was in the Army as a military police officer. And shortly after basic and advanced training, I was deployed to Iraq in 2003 during the invasion. And I was wounded in Iraq, hit with a roadside bomb. And then again in 2004, I deployed to Afghanistan and was wounded again in Afghanistan in 2004.
You guys must both be pretty good healers. You look pretty good to me.
Yeah, healing, I guess, is a good one way to call it. I've always been referred to as a magnet by some of my friends, being wounded multiple times, but I always seem to come back together somehow.
Military guys will do that, won't they?
Yeah.
Gabriel, can you tell us a little bit, what is the Minnesota Warriors hockey team and what's its mission?
The Minnesota Warriors hockey team is a team made up of wounded or otherwise disabled veterans, to include PTSD and MDD. We started last year with four players, and now our roster is up to 30. It provides therapeutic hockey playing program for veterans to help with reintegration. It's mostly the camaraderie aspect, I think, that players are interested in.
And who all is eligible to join the team?
Pretty much anybody that has a service-related disability as long as you've got something on file. You know, it can be hearing or PTSD or really anything else, all the way up to wounds and that type of stuff.
And David, where do you play hockey?
We play right now at the Van Ness Heights Community Center, right off County Road E and Highway 61 in Van Ness Heights. And they've been a gracious host for us since the program has started, by offering us equipment rooms, storage rooms, and then also giving us ice time.
Now, guys, I understand that the Minnesota Warriors ice hockey program was organized for charitable and educational purposes and to help with reintegration into civilian life. Can you tell me who thought this up? What's the background of this?
About a year ago, the current team captain, Andy Kowali, and I were going to school together. And we were in the same company in Iraq as well. And he just brought up one day if a couple of us would be interested in playing hockey for a veterans team. And he was instrumental in putting the whole thing together. And we started November of last year with, like I said, four players to take the ice. Now we're coming up on our one-year anniversary, which is a pretty big deal.
And do you actually have games, or is this practice, or how does it all work?
We do actually have games. Right now we're doing practice because we're having a little bit of ice time fluctuation with all the youth groups starting up for regular hockey season. So, the games will be posted on Facebook and on our website, mnwarriors.com.
Now, is your program, the Minnesota Warriors hockey team, is that in conjunction with the USA Disabled Hockey Program?
That is our sister team based in Washington, D.C.
And how do you interact with them?
Well, they came up and played us for one of our first games last April, and we will be seeing them again for an outdoor classic type of game in Roseville in January here.
Okay, and David? You've gone from 4 to 30. How'd you get there?
I think basically word of mouth. Other guys telling their buddies, hey, we have this hockey team. It's a great opportunity for us to get together, be out on the ice, have that camaraderie that you have when you're in the service together. And then I also think with the cooperative efforts with media, whether it be local television or radio such as this, helps get the word out that, there's this team available where we can get together, play hockey, and enjoy just that camaraderie, and it helps us forget about the injuries or the mental problems that you may be dealing with, and it's an opportunity for guys to get together and just kind of relive that camaraderie you get only from the service.
We're speaking with Gabriel Thomas and David Jensen from the Minnesota Warriors hockey team on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Gabriel, I hear what you're saying now, and I guess I can see the commonality of this is you're veterans and wounded veterans. The camaraderie is because the guys, is it all guys, or is there some ladies there too?
We do take female players. We have yet to have one apply.
but you get together and you play hockey and you can rough each other up and call each other names, and it's just fun, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the program really grows on. You end up hanging out with these guys outside of hockey, too, so it ends up just being an immersion in the veterans community, you know. Especially for guys that came home a while ago. Now they're getting back in, hanging out with other veterans, you know, on the ice and off the ice.
So you find this is a healing experience and an opportunity for guys to act up a little bit without people looking funny at them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
David's over here laughing at me. What do you tell me about? You must act up a little bit while you're playing on the ice.
Yeah, there's always opportunities where come across where guys are joking around with each other, or every occasional hit will happen on the ice here or there. So it definitely brings back that huge sense of camaraderie with the guys, where you start to become more of a family, more of a brotherhood of guys.
Is it getting competitive? Is it getting rough occasionally?
Occasionally, it's some of the practices. It can get rough, but it's for the most part, it's just mainly, you know, guys just going out there and have fun.
And you're up to 30. Do they come from all over the Twin Cities, all over the state? Where do they come from?
We have players come from as far away as St. Cloud.
That's pretty good. Now, I understand you're building, there's two types of teams. Can you tell me the difference, stand-up and sled? Can you describe to me what those are?
Yeah, we're building two teams right now. We've got the standing team, which is pretty much in order, and we may actually, you know, eventually split off to two standing teams. But right now we've got a big focus on the sled team. We've got equipment coming, you know, ordered and on its way, sticks and sleds, and we just need players right now.
So your stand-up team is the walking wounded.
Well,
yeah.
Like you guys. And then the sled team is for those that are, what, wheelchair-bound or
wheelchair-bound, amputees of the lower extremities, anything like that.
Then how many people do you expect to grow into?
Boy, well, you know, eventually we'd like the Warriors program to go nationwide, but as far as Minnesota, you know, like I said, we're going to be splitting off into two teams at some point, eventually, two standing teams, just because of the amount of players. We figure if we got, you know, 30 in the first year, I mean, we're always recruiting, so.
All right, and guys, for our listeners out there, if anybody wants to play hockey and join the team, who do they call, where do they go?
They can go to our website. That's mnwarriors.com. Otherwise, they can follow us on Facebook. We're always looking. That's probably the best way to get in contact with the team. People are on there all the time updating, and that's Facebook. And then our Minnesota Warriors is our fan page.
And Gabriel, you're actively looking for more players.
We always are.
Great. We're talking to Gabriel Thomas and David Jensen from the Minnesota Warriors hockey team on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We'll be back with more. This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Was that a goal horn, guys? I think it was. I'm talking to Gabriel Thomas and David Jensen from the Minnesota Warriors hockey team. I guess that puts us in the mood. David, at the break, you were telling me a story about one of the players on the other team. Can you relate that to us?
Yeah, back in April when our sister team came out from Washington, D.C., they came out and played on our home rink in Van Ness Heights. It was in the middle of the, roughly, I think, third period. There was a particular player on their team, Mark. He's a double amputee, and I think it's outstanding that he's even on there, out on the ice, standing up playing. But I remember him skating by our bench and looking at our team, because I think we were winning at that time. And he looked over at us and he goes, "All right, guys, watch out. I'm going to turn it up now, so you better be ready." And it just to see someone that has, you know, lost his legs like that and have a complete 180 in life and want to be out there, want to be participating with the team out on the ice skating, it's I think that particular event happening in the hockey game is part of the reason why I love, you know, this team.
And he was calling you out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was telling us to watch out.
I bet he played pretty well, too.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Did you win?
I believe we won.
Eventually we won.
But he made it tough on you. That's great. Can you tell us, Gabriel, quickly, one more time, what's Minnesota Warriors all hockey team all about?
We provide hockey, you know, in a therapeutic environment for disabled, wounded, veterans. basically, we're just here to build a sense of camaraderie around the team. And
that's all right. It's a place for you to go out and let off some steam and get together and
absolutely
have a little fun on the ice. And if our listeners want more information, where's the website again?
It's mnwarriors.com.
Okay, and then how do you get ice time? How do you pay for ice time? How does that all work? How are you organized?
We're a nonprofit organization, so all of our ice time, equipment, all that is paid for through donations and fundraising events.
So you're a 501c3 charitable foundation?
Yes.
And how do you get, who's your sponsors? How do you get your donations?
Well, we do get individual donations a lot. We also do fundraising events. Upcoming, we have a spaghetti dinner and silent auction at the White Bear Lake American Legion Post on the 23rd. And that's, we're going to have a silent auction, a bachelor auction. It's going to be pretty fun. So
a bachelor.
That's right.
David's over here shaking his head again. What's a bachelor's auction? We're going to auction off some veterans?
Yeah, they're going to have the hockey team, some of the players up there, and people can bid on an opportunity to buy that, hockey player or that veteran and take him out to dinner or something like that. So it's going to be a great opportunity for us to raise money.
All right, and then do you have other sponsors, like equipment sponsors? Do you have specialty equipment? You must have some things that you can't buy off the shelf.
Yeah, well, we get most of our equipment through Hat Trick Hockey, which has locations in Richfield and Anoka. And they've been really great to us. They give us great deals on all. The Warriors provide all equipment for players except for skates and a stick. Other than that, we have helmets, shin pads, elbow pads, chest protector, all that kind of stuff that you need when you come out and play. We've got it all through Hat Trick at, great prices. So.
So what all of the Minnesota Warriors hockey, what do you need? You need players?
We need players. We always accept donations as well. That's what keeps our program going. That's what helps us get our ice time and make it so that the players themselves don't have have as little financial burden as possible to play on the team. So
you need some players, you need some donations, you maybe use some equipment. How about do people come out and watch?
We do have people come up and watch, especially we advertise games every once in a while, like the bigger ones. We advertise the 4th of July game. We advertise that that kind of inaugural game back in April. And we'll be probably advertising for the one in January here as well.
David, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about the Warriors hockey program?
I just want to, reach out to people, any donation that they can provide, whether it's equipment, monetary, or even volunteering, get in contact with us through the website, and anything that you can help us out with would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Gabriel, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to touch on, I know we have a big focus on ice stuff, on ice time and equipment and that kind of stuff, but I think being part of the program, one of the most important things that happens is off the ice with the camaraderie that the players build. And I think that eventually, these wars are going to be over, and just like every other set of veterans, we're going to be kind of on our own. We're going to have to take care of each other like we always have. So the Warriors are building those connections now so that they have them in the future.
Guys, I wish you the best of luck. One more time, the website?
It's going to be mnwarriors.com or on Facebook, the Minnesota Warriors.
Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Gabriel Thomas and David Jensen from the Minnesota Warriors hockey team. And now it's time for Mail Call with Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. I have a letter here from Debbie. She writes, Veterans Day is right around the corner. I'm helping to plan our school's Veterans Day program, and I'm interested in getting a military speaker or even just a couple of soldiers to visit our program. Where in the world do I start finding someone?
I think I'd start with my favorite newly commissioned second lieutenant.
Well, thank you, Tom. Not only me at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, it's actually something that I'm going to give you a different website for once, MinnesotaNationalGuard.org, MinnesotaNationalGuard.org. They have a community support page, and on that page is where you can request things like a color guard or a speaker, or if you want to have someone come out with a military vehicle for your Veterans Day parade, equipment displays, even the band. You can request a band by going to MinnesotaNationalGuard.org, click on community support, and you fill out a form. Imagine that. The military wants you to fill out a form. It's called a DD Form 2536. And what happens after you fill that out and send it in to the State Public Affairs Office, Tom, is that it's reviewed, vetted, we like to say, and then we see if we can find a local unit to support your community request.
And I'll bet you're 100% successful, but how does the Guard fill all those requests, Lieutenant?
Well, Tom, we can't be 100% successful because, especially on Veterans Day, we get a lot of requests for people to come out with color guards and speakers and such. While we do our best to be there for the community, sometimes we just can't meet all of the needs. So at that point, we do encourage people to reach out to their local Yellow Ribbon Network, to reach out to their American Legion or VFW. And oftentimes what you're looking for, particularly in that color guard or that speaker request, you'll be able to find right there in your local network.
So we visit MinnesotaNationalGuard.org and we fill out a form.
You got it. And then if you're bored, come to BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org just for the heck of it.
Our favorite website.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Lieutenant Nelson. That was Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson with the question of the week. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please go to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour and click on Contact Us and ask your question. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Darrell Young from the Air Force Reserve's 934th Airlift Wing, Gabriel Thomas and David Jensen from the Minnesota Warriors Hockey, Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson, Commissioner Larry Shelledo, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about toys for military kids and the Veterans Employment Programs with Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.